In Genesis chapter number 6, a little loud, wasn't I? In Genesis 6, just a little bit. You think I'm yelling at you? I'm trying to be nice. Amen. Just a little bit. We're going to look at some things by the grace of God today in Genesis chapter 6. Is that gooder? All right. That's good. We can learn a lot about God in this passage. We look at this passage and we understand it's talking about the flood. We understand God's judgment. We understand that God's mercy was there. We're going to look at some things by the grace of God, and we're going to begin. Oh, let's read beginning in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." There's today, amen. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die." Now jump down to chapter number 7, verse 11. It says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of the beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Very, very common, familiar story. We've heard about it. If you've been in church as a kid, you've heard about Noah's ark over and over and over again. And I want to look at some things by the grace of God that we can see about God. And we'll look and we can see in verse number 5 of chapter number 6. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The first thing we can see is a long-suffering God. Think about that verse. We read these verses and we kind of gloss over them and we just focus on the big picture, the story of the judgment, but we realize that he says that every imagination of the thoughts of hearts were only evil continually. God is a long-suffering God. This didn't happen overnight. God had watched man degrade. God had watched man go farther and farther away from truth for years and years and years and years because he's a long-suffering God. Praise God, he's long-suffering. Hey, if he wasn't a long-suffering God, this would be an empty church building.
Amen.
If he wasn't a long-suffering God, hell would already be full. Matter of fact, they'd be adding on, amen? But he's a long-suffering God. He watched the earth go and go and go further and further and further away from truth, and then he decided he had enough. That's where we're at today. God has been long-suffering. He's been long-suffering with the people that he wanted to be a blessing to, that he wanted to dump out all these blessings on. He's been long-suffering with the nation, the United States of America. Hey, I'm telling you, he's been long-suffering with a country that first chose him, and now they're choosing every god but him.
Amen.
But we serve a long-suffering God. And praise the Lord, even after you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's still long-suffering
Amen.
With you
Amen.
And with me. We look at this story of judgment, and I think we sometimes forget that there was a long-suffering God that come to that point of judgment. It didn't just happen with Adam, and then the next day everything fell apart. Gradually, things fall apart. That's what happens with your life if you're not careful. You don't just wake up one day at the whorehouse or down there at the bar. You don't wake up. You gradually get out. I'm not talking about even leaving church. I'm talking about not being in church while you're in church. You gradually get out. You gradually sit there and you stew and you get upset with another brother or sister in Christ, or you get upset with the preacher for preaching the truth, or you get upset with this, that, or the other, and then you're showing up and you're putting in your time, but you're not really in church. And then the next thing you know, folks, they gradually get out, totally, physically out, and then the next thing you know, their life is such a mess down the road, and God has been long-suffering and calling to them all the way. He's a long-suffering God. I say that because I'm warning you, be careful. Be prayerful. Be in God's Word. Get God's Word in you regularly. Because the devil wants to get you out. He wants to get you out. A long-suffering God. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We see a grieved God. Could you imagine that? God grieved. Displeased. Brought sorrow in his very heart. Because he didn't want to judge. I think a lot of times we look at God as somebody's just waiting to drop the hammer on everybody. And that's not true. He's long-suffering and merciful. But there comes a point where sin has to be dealt with, and that's where God was in Genesis chapter 6. Sin had to be dealt with. And a long-suffering God did right because he always does right. And it grieved him. It grieved him that man that he had created was not living for his purpose, that man that he had created was following other gods, that man that he had created was not glorifying him, but they were glorying in the flesh. It grieved him that he was going to have to judge man because of God being just and man being wicked. He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes pleasure in people getting right. A long-suffering God, a grieved God. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repenteth me that I have made them. There's a God of judgment. He has to judge eventually. Hey, look, sin has to be judged. Absolutely. I hope the whole world just turns to Christ and gets saved, but we know that's not going to happen. But I hope everybody we run into that we give the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I hope that it burns down into their heart and it keeps them up at night and it bothers them to the point where they get on their face and they cry out to Jesus Christ and they say, Lord, I don't want to burn in hell. I want to trust you and thank you and praise you for saving me. I hope that happens to everybody. But when it doesn't, sin will be judged. it will be judged. All the wickedness that's going on in this world, all the supposed leaders that are leading people in the wrong direction, and it doesn't matter if they're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, if they're in the United States or where they're at, all the wicked leaders of this world that are out there, there are probably some decent ones, but most of them are just wicked. Out there filling their pockets and trying to get a pat on the back and trying to glory in the flesh over and over and over again. And they forgot about God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. And they don't want you to have anything to do with Him. They want you to get caught up in so much in the messes that they're making and the sideshow of the fiascos that are going on here and going there that you just forget about reading your Bible, forget about praying, forget about Jesus Christ, forget about witnessing, forget about trying to glorify God. They want you to hunker down and hide under your bed and be scared to death and wait for them to tell you it's okay. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, it's okay. If you're lost, you're going to burn in hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ. Ain't no politician makes $20 million a year or steals $20 million a year going to tell you that, but I'll tell you that for free, amen. You're going to burn in hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to answer to Him if you're saved and you live like hell. Amen. Long-suffering God, a grieved God, a God of judgment. Oh, man. You come along to verse 9. Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. We see a God of grace. Here it says, all flesh. You know what was wrong with the flesh? It was all perverted. It was all corrupt. It was all wicked. The thoughts, not of their mind, not just their mind, the thoughts of their heart, the deep down in their inner being, all they had, all their focus was wickedness. And God looked down at this earth, and He was looking for somebody that He could hand His grace to. And He said, there's Noah. Noah walked with me. I'm going to show him some grace. You know what he's looking for today? He's looking for somebody he can hand some grace to. Oh, God's full of grace. He just wants to give it to people. The problem is nobody wants it anymore. Nobody wants it. They don't understand that undeserved favor, that eternal undeserved grace, can only be given from God. They think maybe they're going to get a little bit of mercy, a little bit of joy, a little bit of grace. They're going to get what they need from sex or drugs or money or things. And the only place they're going to get what they need is from Jesus Christ, the God of grace. Learn a lot about God in Genesis. He's a long-suffering God. It grieves Him at His heart that people go the wrong way. It grieves Him that judgment has to come, but judgment must come. And He's a God of judgment, but He is a God of grace. We can learn some things about God's people. Look at verse 10 and 11, back in Genesis 6. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. You know what God's people were in? They were right in the middle of a corrupt earth. I mean, right smack dab in the middle. There's only eight of them. Right in the middle of a corrupt earth. That's where God's people were. You know where you're at today? You are right smack in the middle of a corrupt earth. Amen. Nobody wants God. The lost people aren't looking for God. We're supposed to deliver Him to them. Amen? Hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And they'll say, I don't want Him. Okay, let me give you this track. I don't want it. I'll just read it. Humor me. We're supposed to do what we can do to take God to them because they're not looking for God. Most of the world's looking for more checkbook, a shinier automobile, a bigger house, another attaboy, another reason to be a victim so somebody can feel sorry. It's their attention. You know what they are? They're attention whores. That's what this world is. And they're whoring around on God, the God that created them, that they should be getting saved and living for God to glorify Him. They're whoring around on Him with the devil and living like the devil. And if you open the Bible and told them to find John 3:16, it'd take them 75 minutes to find it. And if they understood it, they probably wouldn't do anything with it because they don't care anymore. Because that's where we're at. God's people were in the midst of a corrupt world. But check this out. Listen to this. But God's people, look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The entire world was filth, and God's people walked with Him. They didn't compromise. They walked with Him. They were in God's will. No matter how crazy the world gets, you can still be in God's will. I don't care if all the wheels come off the bus. You can still be in God's will. If your entire family loses their mind and they go the wrong direction, got some in my family, amen? And you have some in yours. You can still be in God's will. Amen. Noah was in an even worse situation than you and I are, because you know what he didn't have? He didn't have a complete Bible. And he didn't have a church family. And think about this. Noah's 600 some years old when that flood comes. Think Noah didn't have some relatives that were going to be destroyed? You think that didn't hurt Noah? You think he didn't have some relatives that old Jimmy decided he's going to marry Bob? You think he didn't have that going on in his family? You think it didn't break his heart? But you know what he didn't do? He didn't go, it's all right, Jimmy, you're a victim. You want to marry Bob, maybe you should do that. He didn't go along with the corruption. He walked with God. You cannot walk with the world and walk with God at the same time because they're going in different directions. If my own mama is wrong, she's wrong. Amen. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And a genetic relationship does not trump that. Sin is sin. Wickedness is wickedness. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Hey, Noah did not give in to the pressure. He didn't say, well, you know, I just have to go by my feelings and I just feel like I want to get along with everybody. How about getting along with God? Amen. The reason God called Noah into that ark is because Noah made a decision to walk with God. The ball's in your court. God wants to walk with you. Are you going to walk with Him? Because if you're not, we might as well shut the doors on this place and go on down the road. You might as well drink and be merry, because that's the whole duty of man. You might as well do like Solomon did and go out and get everything you can in this world and enjoy what little bit of vapor you got left if you're not going to walk with God. Amen. That's the truth. God's people can be in God's will, even in a corrupt world. Look at chapter 7. Look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, I understand we have Christ's righteousness, and that's why we're in. But God's people were in a corrupt world. God's people were still in God's will in that corrupt world, and God's people were separated. You know what He did? He said, come thou into the ark. He didn't say, hey, Noah, go into the ark. Who was in the ark? God was in the ark. He said, come into the ark. Come out of that world. They're getting judged. Hey, come out of the world. The world's going to be judged. He called them out and called them in at the same time. Out of the world and into His will. They were separated because they didn't put up with the wickedness. They didn't condone it, and they didn't make excuses for it. Look, I have a family member that I love dearly. And every time I talk to this member, all they talk about is my sodomite nephew and what a good person he is. I don't even like to talk about it anymore. I don't even want to hear about it. I've already told him he's not a good person. He has a wicked heart. He's doing wicked things. If he was good, he would get saved, get right, then he could have some good. But you can't live contrary to the Word of God and call yourself good. The only way we can approach goodness is by walking with Jesus Christ, because He is good. They were separated out. Look at verse 16 in chapter 7. And they that went in male and female, by the way, praise God, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. They were separated and they were protected. I've been separated. I've been set apart for a purpose because of Jesus Christ. When I called out to Christ, He forgave my sin and He gave me a new purpose. And my purpose is not to serve the flesh, it's to serve the Savior. He put me in Christ and He's protected me. We talked about this Wednesday night. I'm saved. It's not what you're looking at that's saved. This flesh is going to the grave. I'm going to drop this and be out of here one of these days. Praise God. I don't want to die. I'm not wishing on that. But I'm looking forward to seeing Him. But I'll tell you what. If we're not careful, we are our worst enemy. And He has protected me. He has placed me in Christ and He shut the door. That ark represents Jesus Christ. Noah didn't pull the door shut. God did. God said, I'm going to keep my hand on that door and you're going to be good. You know what He's doing for you if you've trusted Christ? He's saying, you just stay on the boat with me. And I'll navigate through this world. You go with me. I'll keep you safe until I call you home. Until judgment's over. Amen? They were protected. In 17 through 20, it talks about the ark rising up. It says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. They rose above the wickedness. That's what God's people need to learn how to do, is rise above the wickedness. I'm not here because I got extra words. I don't have any words. God has to give me anything. If anything happens right, it's Him. But I'm here because I want to tell you to rise above the wickedness. Don't get caught up in the mess. The world, hey, this perverted view of God, you're going to find God, you're going to find Him in that book. Amen. All this baloney about, oh God, you know, all this junk about this generic God. Hey, we've got a God that we serve. It's a long-suffering God that's grieved at His heart because of sin. He's going to judge sin. He saved us and He sealed us. He's the Creator. He's the one that's going to judge this mess that we're living in right now. And then, you know, the whole world wants to get very, just sing Kumbaya. Can't we just all get along? No, we can't get along that way. We can love people and we can pray for them, but we can't get in the same boat with them because their boat's going to hell. I'm not talking about being better than anybody. I'm talking about the fact that He's better. And He's worthy. You ought to lay your life down every day and give it to Jesus Christ. Amen. They rose above the wickedness. Well, you know, they're born like that. Well, you know, these abortions, they have to have them because, you know, the mama could die. Hogwash. 99.9% fallacy. Lie. It's wickedness. Hey, look, if you've got something you've done wrong in your past, get under the blood of Jesus Christ and go on. But don't accept it as right if it's wrong and go on carrying the mess and cuddle up with these people that are doing wrong. And don't put your faith in the Democrats or the Republicans. Put it in Jesus Christ. I don't care what man gets into what office. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to fix this mess. And when He does it, it's not going to be painless for a lot of folks. They rose above the wickedness. And here's where some of the problem comes in with saved folks. Is we like to be liked. We do. We like to be liked. We like people to like us. We like to have friends. And they're doing one of my friend's funeral today down in Tennessee. You know why he's my friend? Because my real friends love Jesus Christ. And they try to do what He wants them to do. He was my real friend. Missing. He was a real friend. I got a whole line of people that used to call themselves friends. And when things were going wrong and everything was right for keep doing wrong, they were still around. But when things started going right, they left. Amen? My real friends want to do right. They want to be like my best friend, Jesus Christ. But we have this tendency to want to be liked and put more importance on what people think of us instead of what God thinks of us. Oh, I could go to my cousin and I could say, you know, it's a shame that you were born a sodomite. Let's go have lunch. And my whole family, most of them, two-thirds of them would go, man, you really showed him the love of Christ as he's headed to hell. Or I'd give him the truth and everybody gets upset. But God's not. You know what makes God happy? Truth. If I did what made everybody else happy, it would upset God. Same goes for you. Sometimes you got to just get away from folks. I don't care how close you are biologically to them. You've been purchased with the blood of Christ. And God expects us to separate unto Him. I'm not saying not to pray for them. I'm not saying not to witness to them. But I'm not going to family reunions where half the people are the same gender that say they're married. I'm not doing that. They can keep that mess. Amen. They can keep that mess. If it's at my mama's house, I ain't going. Amen. If she's hosting it and she's putting the pink dresses on the guys, I'm not going. Because right is right and wrong is wrong. You got to choose whether you're going to serve the Lord or try to satisfy the flesh. And I understand I'm talking to people that really want to love the Lord right. But I'm telling you, we don't. We don't. And the days we're living in, you need to learn how to walk with the Lord. Noah walked with the Lord. Noah had who knows how many family members perished in that flood. And Noah stuck with God. If he'd have went with the family members, he would have drowned the flood. But he didn't. And I understand sometimes it gets lonely doing right. Amen? So we got a battle. We're trying to do right and we want to do wrong. We're battling ourselves. And then when we do right and we're trying to be on the right course and trying to follow the Lord and walk with the Lord, I understand, you know, people will separate from you. Sometimes you have to separate from other people and it can be lonely. But look at Genesis 8, chapter 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuage. Could you imagine being in that ark all that time? I mean, not just counting the smell of the animals. I love my family, but if I was locked in a room with them for 150 days, my wife would put a pillow over my head. That'd be the end of it. Amen? And I wouldn't blame her. I honestly, if I could do that sometimes. But I'm telling you, could you imagine how lonely it must have gotten there? I imagine about 30 days into that, they're like, man, I got to get out of here. I know the Lord's walking with us and I know we're safe, but I'd really like to get up and walk out there and find me a cherry tree, pop some cherries off of her. I'd rather like to go out there and find me some tomato. I'd like to do something I used to do. And they got lonely. And they felt alone. But God remembered them. And you know what probably kept Noah going? The fact that he walked with God before the flood. See, a lot of folks are falling apart right now because of the pandemic and all the junk, and they're completely, totally frayed and falling apart because they never had a relationship with God before. They didn't pray. They didn't read their Bible. If they did go to church, they weren't really in church. And now they're struggling trying to find a God that they might be saved by, but they don't know as a personal friend. Noah knew God as a friend. Noah walked with God. Hey, judgment's coming. Let me tell you something. I understand the church is going to be raptured out of here before the great tribulation for the Jews. I understand that. I'm not trying to wrongly divide here. But part of that judgment, as you've seen over the years, is God just lifting his hand off of this nation. and off of this world. Perilous times will come. Walk with God. Walk with God. He's got this. God never one day in eternity, never one day, one time woke up worried about what was going to happen. Anything. Not one time. And if you walk with God, you won't either. It's when we get off course, we start worrying. Could you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden, walking with God, talking with God every day? You don't have to imagine it because you can do it now. You can pray. And let me tell you something. I'll never get over the amazement of how he talks out of this book. I mean, I'll get in there and I'll read something I've read 1,000 times. And he'll show me something that's just so new and so exciting and so different. Because he wants to walk with us. He wants to walk with us. We can learn a lot about God in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. But don't forget, he remembered Noah. And he remembers you. He remembers us. God's got everything in control. We're just along for the ride. But that ride should be in God's boat, not the devil's. Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be right. Change our minds about where we're wrong. Change our hearts. Help us to be right. Oh, Lord, I don't want this building to be an afterthought. I don't want us as a church to be an afterthought. I don't want us as individuals to be, oh, they used to be. I want to be people that are serving you now. Better than ever, closer than ever, trusting you more than ever. Having peace from you that only you can give. Strength that only you can give. Guidance that only you can give. Direction, protection. Help us, Lord. Be more like Noah in the middle of this corrupt earth. Help us to walk with you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.